Well, we're going to talk again this morning about prayer. We're still in the Sermon on the Mount, so turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6. And I want to ask you something before we start. How many of you guys grew up saying the same prayer like every day? Like, we did this one. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. How many did that one? Okay. What about, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food. All right, pretty much everybody did that one. And those prayers are great. And they're great so long as we mean what we say and we understand what we're saying. We get in the habit sometimes of just saying the words and not thinking about what we're saying. Anybody ever get like that? You know, and we even get like that with what people call the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And what Jesus is doing in this part of His sermon, if you remember last week, we talked about the Pharisees, and they prayed so that they could be seen and heard. And Jesus told them, you know, look, they've got their reward. They are hypocrites. They're praying in the streets to be seen and heard. Well, today He's going to turn and He's going to talk about people other than the Pharisees who pray a lot just to hear themselves pray. They say the same thing over and over again. He calls it vain babblings. So they're not paying attention to what they actually say. They're not getting into what prayer is supposed to be. And prayer is supposed to be a direct communication between us and God. It's a two-way communication, right? We talk, God speaks. God will speak through His Word. Sometimes it'll be that Spirit inside you. Sometimes it'll be moving inside you. But God will speak back to us. So when we pray, one of the things that we have to be careful of is simply not to lay out our laundry list of, I want all this, you know, and keep going page after page after page. We need to think, God, what do You want? We need to think about who He is. And that's what Jesus is going to teach us today through what we're going to call, and you'll see why, the model prayer. So the first thing that we need to understand is that the problem the Pharisees had was because they misused the purpose of prayer. Their purpose, if you will remember, was to be seen. They got what they wanted. They prayed on the street corners. They'd stop on the corner, raise their hands, make a big scene. And all they did it for was not to praise God, but to be seen. And what He tells us is that this meaningless prayer that the pagans use, He's going to call it, you'll hear, vain babblings. He's going to say they misuse the nature of prayer because they think that the more I say something, or maybe the louder I say it, I'm going to get God's attention. And that's wrong too. It's just as wrong as the idea that you can pray to be seen and be heard. So stand, if you will, let's read Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read verses 6, actually, through 16. Jesus starts out and He says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." You can be seated. So Jesus is going to talk to us about a prayer that is not done to simply be heard. It's a prayer that's not done to just try and get God's attention by the sheer number of words that you use, or by how loud you get, or for some religions, how many prayer wheels you spin. What he's going to say is your prayer, and we're going to see this through the model prayer, has to be first God-centered. Now, we saw the prayer of the Pharisees. You remember his prayer was, Lord, I thank you that I am not like other sinners. I'm not even like this tax collector. Was that a God-centered prayer? No, that was not a God-centered prayer, right? So with the pagans, they're going to say the same thing over and over and over again. Again, is that God-centered? No, it's not. So he wants us to have a God-centered prayer and a prayer that is intelligent, meaning that we're thinking about what we're asking for, we're thinking about who God is, and we're thinking about his role. So keep your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to go through this model prayer. I want you to notice one thing first. The first three prayers that this model prayer gives are about God. Remember, I told you this prayer is going to be God-centered. It's going to talk about his name, it's going to talk about his kingdom, and it's going to talk about his will. It's all about God first. And then it comes to us. It's a little bit different than what you would expect, and we're going to cover this, but it comes to our daily food, our sins, and our temptations. So this is how Jesus is teaching us to pray. And I want to teach you a couple of things first to make sure we're clear. Number one, how many have heard that prayer referred to as the Lord's Prayer? Yeah, you can buy that on coffee cups. You can buy it everywhere. And it is not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in John 17. You can read John 17, and Jesus is speaking in the first person. He says, Father, I pray. Father, I pray. Father, I pray. Look in Matthew 6, verse 6. He says, actually in verse 7, don't use the vain repetitions, but verse 9, in this manner, therefore, pray. He's teaching his disciples to pray. So we need to learn the lesson that the model prayer gives us. And it's not going to be something that's robotic. You can say that prayer in 20 seconds, and you can get absolutely nothing out of it. What I want you to do today as we go through this prayer is I want you to think about the words that we're going to emphasize. I want you to think about the approach that Jesus is giving us to prayer. Why is he asking us to start out with, for instance, Our Father? Why does he want us to start there? Why does he want God's name to be honored? Why would this be the way Jesus wants us to pray? And let me ask you this. If this is the way that Jesus wants us to pray, do you think we ought to pray this way? That's pretty good advice, right? So we're going to go through each of these verses and we're going to talk about them. And Jesus is, again, he's contrasting this kind of thoughtful, intelligent prayer with the words that he says that the heathen use. He says, do not use vain repetitions like the heathen do. They think they're going to be heard just because they say a lot. And God will hear every single word that a child of God prays to him. Do y'all get that? He will hear every single word a child of God prays to him. He will hear the prayer of a lost person who prays for forgiveness. He will hear those. We don't have to be loud, but we do have to mean it. And we got to think about what we're doing. So let's start with Our Father. And he says, you know, pray like this. He doesn't say pray these exact words. That's another reason it's called the model prayer. But this is the overall schematic of how we ought to start. And he says you start by saying Our Father. We recognize that God is our Father. We recognize that he is our Heavenly Father. And what do fathers do? They provide for us. They care for us. They care about us, not only care for us. And he wants you to think, remember, he tells us as children of God that we can go to God and we can call him Daddy. So I want you to think back about when your kids or your grandkids came to you, tugged on your pants or whatever it was, and said, hey, Daddy, I want this. Or, Daddy, can we do this? Why did they come to you? Fathers, we just got through Father's Day. Why did they come to you? Because they look to you. They look to their father for comfort. They look to their father for love. They look to their father for assurance. You name it, that's who they look to. So he says, I want you to think, first of all, who you're praying to. So the first step in this model prayer is you acknowledge him as your father. If he's not yet your father, you can't pray this prayer. If he's not your father, you can change that today. If you have not confessed your sins and said, Father, I need Jesus Christ in my life, please do that today. But he says, you got to remember who he is. He is your father. And he's going to love you, and he's going to be on your side, in your camp, whatever words you want to use, that's who he is. So you pray. And did we respect our fathers? I hope so. We're supposed to respect the fathers. We're supposed to be looking to them for guidance. So he says, I want you to recognize, first of all, that he is your father. I want you to understand that this prayer is not about etiquette. It's not about the form. He could have said, pray these exact words, but he didn't do it. He said, pray like this. Pray in this manner. Start out by saying, Father. Start out by saying, Daddy, whatever words you want to use, and understand how important it is that you have that right view of God. You know, some people think God's up there taking notes. Yes, no, ooh, boy, Parks was bad today. He's going to have to pay for that. That is not what God does. You need to understand that. God is, we are the apple of his eye when we become children of God. We are his prizes. Because he's grooming us to give to his son Jesus Christ as a bridegroom. All members of the church, he's grooming us to do that. Now that doesn't mean, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, that everything that we go through is going to be, you know, comfortable. Because God has to polish us up sometimes. He has to get rid of kind of the dirt on the outside. Sometimes the dirt on the inside. But he will do that like a good father. Remember, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. But that's the first thing Jesus says. You go to the Father and you remember who he is. You acknowledge him as Father. You acknowledge him as provider. You acknowledge him as the one who has saved you. And then he says, I want you to do something else. I want you to think about how hallowed his name is. We don't use that word much anymore, but it means holy. How special his name is. There's power in the name of God. There's not power in anybody else's name. But there is power in the name of Jesus Christ, for no other name under heaven can save. Not Allah, not Buddha, not any of those other, Muhammad, none of those can save. Only the name of Jesus Christ. He says, I want you to think about who you're talking to again. I want you to think about how holy he is. I want you to think about honoring his name. Do we honor his name in society today? No, we don't. And they didn't back then either. I mean, you got to understand, this is Jesus giving them a model prayer. You're going to see a lot of things that, well, you know, why is he asking for this? Because that society was evil and corrupt, just like ours is. They didn't honor God's name. You know, it's amazing that if you go and you slam your door, your finger in your car door, I have never heard one person yell Buddha. Y'all ever heard that? Well, they yell. They yell Jesus Christ or something like that. Or worse, you know, they may use other words. But nobody ever talks about anybody else. Nobody gives God the honor his name deserves. Next Sunday night, we're going to talk about the names of God. And those names inspire people. Those names tell us so much about him and what he does in our lives. We kind of just take him for granted. He's God. Yeah, he is God, but he's the God who saves us. He's the God who provides. He's the great God. He's the awesome God. And Jesus wants us to think about honoring his name. So when we go to the Lord in prayer, we start out by recognizing who he is, and then we talk about honoring him. Then, some people wonder why this is in there. Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to understand something, that God's will is done in heaven right now, and it has always been done in heaven, but it has not always been done by everybody on the earth. And this is what Jesus is telling us to pray. We need to pray that God's will be done. What is God's will? That none perish, that all come to salvation, right? We need to be praying for that. We need to be praying that what is going on in heaven is coming down to earth and is going on earth right now. And you just think about this. What have we done so far? We've acknowledged Him as God. We've talked about how great He is, about all of His attributes. And then we've said, we want Your kingdom, Your will to be done. What are we doing? Are we focusing on ourselves, or are we focusing on God? Yeah, we're focusing on God. That there's nothing in that prayer about us at all yet. And it's putting us in the right frame of mind. It's putting us in a worshipful attitude. It's putting us in a situation where we can then turn and pray for us the right way. Because if you start out praying for me, it's going to be that laundry list. It's going to be the vending machine God that, hey, this is what I want today. Tomorrow I'm going to want something different. And He's like, don't be like that. So then He turns and He talks about our personal prayers. But I want to show you something. It's not me, I, my. Those words don't appear either. What does He say? Give us. Good, yeah. Give us this day our daily bread. So He's talking about substance. He's talking about our actual bread. Look, these people, they live wondering where they would get their next meal. Some people still do that today, but I don't think we do. You know, they were actually thinking, where are we going to find food to live till tomorrow? But you notice this was not a selfish prayer. Give us. He's talking about all of God's children. So He wants us to pray in our prayer, and in setting up this model, He doesn't want us to be selfish in our prayers. Who was selfish in our prayers? Remember the Pharisees, right? He wants us to be loving of all the others. He wants us to pray for the needs of other people. We use the word us, you know, we're in that, right? But it's not just about me. It's not give me what I want, give me my daily bread. It's a prayer for all believers, all children of God to be provided for. And again, you start off thinking about God, then you move to others, then you move to yourself, right? So He says, you know, give us this day our daily bread, and then forgive us our debts or trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us or our debtors. And this is the only one of these, this model prayer that has this condition on it. If you look down in Matthew 6, verse 14, He says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours." He is talking to Christians. Remember the Beatitudes? This is why this whole sermon builds on those Beatitudes. We come lowly in spirit. Remember, wretched beggars. We have nothing. We understand that only because God has forgiven us do we have any hope for the future. And all Jesus is saying is here is, I want you to treat everybody else like I treated you. I want you to forgive your trespassers, your debtors, just like I forgave you. And if you can't, God won't forgive you. Now understand what He's saying. A true Christian can do this. Let's talk about what forgiveness means. Number one, it does not mean excusing. It doesn't mean don't worry about it or bless his heart or whatever phrase you want to use. That's not what it talks about. A sin is a sin. And it doesn't mean forgetting. You know, you think about Joseph, all the things that were done to him because his brother sold him into slavery. Joseph remembered exactly what was done to him. He forgave his brothers, but he didn't forget. What this word means is you let go of the need for personal vengeance. That's what forgiveness means. You let go of having to be satisfied to take your pound of flesh, whatever words you want to use, you forgive the debt. You write canceled on that debt. This person who you're forgiving no longer owes you anything, just like God forgave your debt. Does that make sense? That's hard, okay? And I'll tell you from personal experience, it is incredibly difficult to forgive, but God calls us to do this. And do we have the capability to do it? Not without Him, but because of Him living inside of us, we do. It is the most God-like you will ever be when you forgive somebody else. And it will be the most difficult thing you probably ever do. But Jesus is saying, look what I did to forgive you. I'm going to my death, but I'm doing it willingly. I'm going to give up everything I had to forgive you of your sins. And all I want you to do is exactly the same thing. We're going to have a baptism in a few minutes, and one of the things, it's on the front of your bulletin, I love the verse. We walk in newness of life after baptism. When we are saved, we have the mind of Christ. We have the ability to think just like God. We don't always do it, but we have that ability. And Jesus is calling on us to be just like His Father. And I guarantee you, if you have not started your prayer with Our Father, blessed be Your name, when you get down to the forgiveness part, it ain't going to happen. If you're like, God, I want You to get him because he did this to me, that's not going to be forgiving. God's saying, you are a different person now. You are a Christian. You are one of my kingdom. And remember, go back to Matthew 6, verse 8, don't be like them. Don't be out for personal vengeance. Don't have to have your pound of flesh. You forgive. And that will be a sign that God has forgiven you. Don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. He wants us to pray about temptation. He wants us to be prepared to fight temptation. You know, for those of you that were at VBS, we put on the full armor of God. That's one of the things we do to fight temptation. We flee temptation, right? We resist the devil. We pray that we be delivered from the evil one. So these are the patterns that he wants us to use. He wants us to understand that we need to come to God and to understand who he is and to follow that pattern. Now you can... Again, since it's not having to pray these exact words, you can certainly pray them. And if you mean them, that's great. Just like, you know, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food. That is 100% true. Just don't ever get in the point where you just are saying it to say it, to get it over with. That's what he's cautioning against. So what's the model prayer then? How do we do this? Well, there's a couple of different things. I like the word acts, A-C-T-S. Adoration is A. You know, I'm acknowledging who God is. I'm glorifying His name. Confession. I'm confessing my sins. I'm clearing up any problem that exists between He and I. Because God, if I'm harboring sin in my life, He's not going to do what I ask. He's not going to listen. I'm not going to be praying in accordance with His will. If I've not forgiven someone and I'm harboring that grudge, I want my vengeance, He's like, not going to happen. So I need to confess. Then I'm going to be giving Him thanks. I'm going to be talking about thank You for all that You've done. Thank You for working in our lives. And then I'm going to be lifting up my supplication, A-C-T-S. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplications. I'm going to be praying for others. I'm going to be praying for myself. There's nothing wrong with praying for yourself. It just goes in the right place. Some people do cats. I'm a dog person, so I don't like the cat's one, but it works. It's confession, adoration, thanksgiving, supplication. There's all kinds of models that are built on this, but Jesus's point is, I want you to think. I want you to think about what you're praying. I want you to think about the words you're using. I want you to pick those words thoughtfully. I want you to understand. You realize when you sing these wonderful hymns that we sing, you're praying to God. Some of those things, are you realizing what you're asking for? Change my heart, O God. We sing that one. It's a great song, right? You realize what you're saying? I hope you do. I hope you do. I'm standing on the promises of God. Another great song. Are you? You're telling them you are. We need to understand that our words mean something. Our words, as you guys know from Sunday school, can either build people up or they can tear them down. God wants us to use good words. He wants us to use wholesome words. And Jesus wants us to use words that mean something to us here. You know, God said, come, let us reason together. God wants you to think, because when you think, this kind of prayer is what results. It may not use these exact words, but it's going to have these themes in them. You're going to look to God first, and you're going to look to others second, and then you're going to look to yourself. And that's what I want to encourage each of you to pray. So what I want to do is a little bit different. I want us to stand and let's actually say the model prayer together. And I want you to, as you say it, I want you to think about what the words mean. Everybody ready? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, be seated. And I hope you meant that, because that is the way that Jesus wants us to think. That's the way he wants us to pray. And he gave that, you got to remember, he gave that to his disciples. And these guys were hanging around him. You know, they knew, they'd seen him pray a lot. In another part of the Gospels, they say, teach us to pray. And this is what he tells them. He gives them that model again. So whether you say it in King James, I love some of the, you know, we all, see, that's how you know you learn it and you say it, because, forgive us our trespasses. That's just the way it's going to come out, right? But he's saying, I want you to think. So I do want you to think this morning. First thing I want you to think about is, if you have never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, he is the only way that you will ever get to heaven. He is the way, the truth, the life. The, very definite article, the, not a way, not a truth, not a life. He is the way. If you've never accepted him as the way, today's the day you need to do it. You need to say, God, I'm a sinner. I confess. I know you're going to hear this prayer. I want Jesus Christ as my Lord, as my Master, and my Savior. If you've not prayed that prayer, you need to pray it today. Standing where you are, that's fine. Come down front. It doesn't matter, but you need to say it and you need to mean it. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, are we doing this? Is this the way we're praying? If it's not, start thinking. Pick an acronym. There's others. Come up with a pattern, and don't make that a rule. You know, things happen. What's the shortest prayer in the Bible? Help. That's an acceptable prayer. Doesn't meet any of these rules, but what does it do? It acknowledges who God is, because he's the only one that can help. It glorifies him. It gives him your thanksgiving, and it gives him your request. One word. It doesn't matter the words that you use, is the point Jesus is. They just need to mean things. They need to mean that you are acknowledging him that you're blessing Him, that you're worshiping Him, that you're relying on Him, you're trusting in Him. And we get in the habit as Christians, you know, how many of you ever said the Lord's Prayer? How many of you, let me say a different way. How many of you go to dinner, you sit down, and when the food comes, you say, did we pray? Anybody ever do that? And you know, sometimes we don't even remember praying because we just get in the habit of doing it. Jesus says, don't be like that. You got an opportunity to talk to God who created the universe. When you enter into prayer, you enter into His throne room, is what the Bible teaches us. He's sitting up there and you are right in front of Him. And you don't have to cower down. He says we are to enter boldly into the throne of grace. You can ask anything. Just think about how you'd ask it of your daddy. That's how you ask. So Christians, if we're not doing that, we need to change our prayer life. We need to get out of that old rote routine and make this fresh. Make this a real conversation. Can you imagine if you said exactly the same words to your spouse every single day for all of your married life? That'd get kind of dull and boring, wouldn't it? You know? It would, and we don't want to be like that. We want to be fresh. We want to be in that relationship, learning about each other. So that's a challenge for him today, from him today. At our time of invitation this morning, if you want to come up and you want to confess Jesus Christ, that's wonderful. Remember, after we do have our invitation, have a seat. We're going to start our baptism service in here, then we will move out. But I want to give everybody the opportunity to respond. You're going to see when we finish the Sermon on the Mount, long around November, you're going to see that people responded. God never said anything and just said, well, you can, you know, take it or leave it. Every single thing called for a response. So what's He calling on you to do today? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You once again for Your Word. We thank You for the prayer that Jesus taught us, Lord. We pray that we can always take that and use its principles to glorify You. Lord, we do pray that Your will be done on earth. Lord, we pray that more than anything. We pray that this world would be Your kingdom, that it would be like You want it to be. Lord, we know that time is coming. We know that the time is coming when Your Son returns, that evil goes away, that sin and pain and death and sickness, this is all going away. Lord, we just pray that that happen. But Lord, we know that You are not willing that any should perish and that You want to give everyone this opportunity, be it a second chance or a 50th chance. You want to give them the opportunity to say yes to Your Son, Jesus, to do those things that would lead us into salvation, to follow You in baptism, to follow You in obedience, to follow You in discipleship. Lord, we know that You give us these opportunities and we just thank You so much for them. I do pray that You would touch every heart here, that they would think about their prayers, think about the words that they say, whether they be designed to build people up or tear people down. Father, I pray that we would edify people only, use words that are pleasing to You and glorify You in all things. Father, if there's anyone here who has not yet put their faith in You, but given You their life, I pray that they would do that today. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.